was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. That's who he is. But then it goes on to say, in the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. And it goes on to describe how he assembled the priests together, how he told them to consecrate themselves, to consecrate the temple. He pointed out how their ancestors had fallen away from God, that they'd filled the temple with dreadful idols, and he said they'd got to put things right, so they did. And we hear that they set to immediately. In verse 17, it says, they began the consecration on the first day of the first month. By the eighth day of the month, they'd reached the portico of the Lord. For 8 more days, they consecrated the temple of the Lord itself, finishing on the 16th day of the first month. That was some spring clean. I imagine many of you have been involved in the past in the big clean here at St. Margaret's, in polishing the pews, clearing the cobwebs, or perhaps in cleaning the brass or the silver on a Friday morning, clearing the churchyard, mowing the grass, perhaps washing up the coffee cups after the service. When we do these things, I wonder how we think of what we're doing, whether we see it as doing our bit, helping spread the load and make the job happen more easily. I wonder whether we see it as a way of making sure that this church is looking lovely for people who arrive for the first time, whether we feel it's a way that we can give something back to the church. I wonder whether we see the polishing, the washing, the dusting as an expression of love and worship for Jesus, who gave everything for us and who died for us. Well, in truth, it is all those things. Our worship, our giving to God, isn't just what we do when we gather together to pray. Don't get me wrong, gathering together to pray is a really good thing and a really powerful thing. And it is one of the most beautiful and powerful things we can do. But if the full extent of our worship happens between 9 and 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, then if that's the only time we honour God and we truly think about God, then something is wrong. In truth, I don't actually think that describes anybody here. I know many of you, and I know how you give in many ways and how you live out your faith in many ways. But it is easy, isn't it, to fall into the trap of thinking of worship as what we do when we're all together here in church, or perhaps when we take time out in the morning or before bed to pray to God and just spend some quiet time with him. But in fact, our worship is so much more than that. It's how we live, how we treat one another, how we fill our leisure hours, how we conduct ourselves at work, what we choose to read or watch. It's how we live out our lives. You see, God has given us our lives. The breath in our lungs, our bodies, our abilities, our interests, the skills that we have, they are all given by God. What we do with those things, how we use them, can be a way of giving back to God and to other people. It is part of our worship. Hezekiah knew that. He looked back at his ancestors and at the previous generations who had not honoured God, who had not followed him in the way that they lived out their lives and in the way that they worshipped together, and he resolved to do something about it. But not just that. It was the very first thing he did when he became king. And I think that tells us a lot about him. After all, the things that we put first, the things that we do first, show our priorities, don't they? Hezekiah's priority was God. He was like the man that Jesus talked of in our reading from Matthew, who built not just his house, but his kingdom on the rock. And we know that that kingdom stood, it was strong, because it was built on love and trust of God. He'd just become king, and instead of focusing on himself and on his newfound position of wealth and power and authority, he focused on God. And he set about reminding his people that they were chosen and loved by God and that they needed to love him back. But what I like about Hezekiah is that he wasn't just a man who honoured God and who worshipped, but he did it in practical ways. We see it in verse 3 with the description of the first thing he did on taking the throne. He opened the doors of the temple and repaired them. And if you read through that story, you'll see all that was done, the religious leaders consecrating themselves, consecrating the temple, removing the idols and the unclean things and taking them away. You can read the details of the sacrifices made, of the music that was played, of the religious the religious festivals that were observed, the money given, the crops and the animals and the livestock that were given. We looked at that last week, didn't we? The way that the people responded so joyfully and so generously and gave of their first fruits, giving without holding back out of fear that they might not have enough for themselves. And I think that's worth coming back to this week when we think of time and talents, because when we talk about giving of our first fruits, we often tend to talk about that in the money talk, don't we? We think of everything that we have. And we talk about the importance of giving out of what we have rather than keeping aside what we need for ourselves and then giving out of what's left. And that's right. And I think we need to do that. We need to think about how we give and why we give. But I also think it's essential to think in the same way about our time, our abilities, our skills, our talents, our passions. How do we give of those things? What does it look like to give the first fruits of our time and our talents? What does it look like to offer God the best of what we are and who we are, rather than just what we have? And I think one of the first things and the most important things is not to disparage or downplay what we are. So often we're ready to say, oh, you know, I'm not very good at that. I couldn't do that. I'm too experienced to be very effective in that way. I'm too old to be of much use there, and so on. We focus on what we can't do. We see others and we appreciate their gifts, their experience, their confidence, their eloquence, their energy, and we compare ourselves and find ourselves wanting. But that's not how God sees us. God made us the way we are, and he loves us the way we are. Let's not insult God by basically saying, well, I'm not good enough. Obviously, our life, our experiences, hardship, illness, and so on will affect how much we can do. But as long as we're here, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we can worship God with our bodies and our abilities. And I see it happening all the time at St. Margaret's. I see God being worshipped on a Friday morning as the brass is polished. And as the flowers are arranged, I see God being worshipped in junior church and in messy church as people give up their time to teach children about their loving Father God. I see God being worshipped in the hospitality that's offered, in the smile and the welcome that I get when I arrive at the door of St. Margaret's. I see God being worshipped in the love and care that's lavished on the churchyard on a Wednesday evening or on a Saturday. All these things and many, many more are done by people who may well, when looking at other people, see themselves as not really good enough, but they really are. You see, God doesn't ask us to give what we can't give. He doesn't ask us to do what we can't do or to do what we really don't enjoy doing. God has given every one of us interests, abilities, and passions, and he's done that for a reason. God has given every one of us time to use as we choose to. Throughout our lives, the amount of spare time, free time we have for ourselves will vary, but every day has 24 hours or 1,440 minutes of time that we can offer to God in the way that we do the things we have to do and the way we do the things we choose to do. Nothing is too mundane to be offered to God. Nothing is too mundane to be worship. For Hezekiah, worship looked like preparing a set of doors and cleaning and clearing the temple. What will your worship look like this week? Will it look like a clean room and a lovingly prepared meal? Will it look like a cup of coffee with a friend who's lonely? Or a kind word? Will it look like something done here at church, making coffee after a service, or at Maggie's song, or helping on the desk at the back so that our sounds and our screens work, or spending some time with our toddlers or our teenagers. It will be different for every one of us, because every one of us is different. Every one of us has different interests. We cannot all do what John and what Alison do. And that's probably a good thing, because John and Alison are doing a pretty good job of being John and Alison. But we can do what we can do. Remember, God doesn't ask us to be anybody else. He doesn't ask us to be what we're not or to give what we can't. He doesn't ask us to serve in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable serving. He has made us who we are and what we are. And if we love him, we will find ways of offering who and what we are back to him with joy and with gratitude. Amen.